Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
This episode is brought to you by Hallo, the number one Catholic app. Hallo has 1,000 audio-guided prayers and meditations for you to deepen your relationship with God. To listen to all of the Hallo meditations for free for 30 days, head to hallo.com/breadbox.
Hello there once again. My name is Gary Zimak, and welcome to the Gary Zimak Show. Come on in, make yourself at home. I'm going to be here for the next 30 minutes, and I hope you'll be able to stick around with me for the entire show as we look at the Mass readings for the second Sunday of Lent. Yeah, we are in the Lenten season now, no doubt about it. Today's theme, God sent his Son. And in the Gospel today, we're literally going to hear the words of the Father. When he says, "This is my beloved son, listen to him." I think that, can you imagine being there at the time and hearing those words at that event, which was known as the Transfiguration? God the Father saying, "This is my son. I sent you my son. I want you to listen to him." That just opens up so much for us as Catholic Christians to really explore the teachings of Christ and follow him. Because when we do, we're literally following the Father. So I hope your Lent is going well. And we're going to talk about this. We'll look at all of the readings for the second Sunday of Lent. And I'm just so grateful to be here. I'm thankful to you for listening to the program. I'm thankful to the podcast services for carrying the show. I'm thankful to the many radio stations across the country who broadcast this program. So it's just an unbelievable privilege to be able to share the gospel with you as we walk through the Lenten season. And just a couple words, you know, of course, we're going to talk about the Mass readings for this Sunday. But I want to let you know that during the Lenten season, during this season, which at times we can do things that we might not be pleased with, you know, we might have messed up in some way, we might have failed, we might have gone back on whatever our Lenten resolutions were. I don't want you to panic, because God understands that. God understands that we do mess up because we are human beings. We do have a fallen human nature. But I think the important thing for us to remember is that we're trying. And he's going to read our hearts. And I think we've talked about this before on the program. God reads our hearts, and he looks for our intent more than he does for our external practices. So, you know, let's focus on this. Let's remember the fact that we are trying. We're trying to do our best during the Lenten season. If you're trying to give up worrying, we're going to talk a little bit about that on this show as well. Keep trying. Keep trying and depend on the Lord. Depend on him for help. Realize that you're not doing this on your own. You're doing this with his help. So we're gonna look at, and it's funny, it's not funny, it was done by design. Our give up worry for Lent reflection has to do with the Transfiguration as well, which is what we're going to read about in today's gospel. So with that in mind, let's get ready to go into the show. Let's turn our thoughts to our Heavenly Father and ask him to give me the words to open all of our minds up and to keep us on the right track as we progress through this Lenten season. Please join me in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to be able to address you in prayer as we continue our Lenten journey. Father, we're so grateful for your presence, your constant presence in our lives. Father, we pray that you continue to pour out your Holy Spirit on us so that we can follow the path that will bring us closer to your son, Jesus, and ultimately closer to you. We lift up our family, our friends, all of our personal intentions. We ask you, Father, we place these intentions in your hands, and we ask you to take care of them for us. We ask you to guide us along this Lenten journey so that by the time Easter rolls around, we're closer to you and closer to your son, Jesus, than we were when we started. Father, I ask you to give me the words for this program. I ask you to open all of our minds and all of our hearts so that we can hear and follow your message. Father, I ask this in the name of Jesus, your son. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for praying with me. And in case you're a new listener to this program, my name is Gary Zimek. We do this once each week. The focus of this show is the Sunday Mass readings. I also do a daily podcast called Following the Truth, which you can download and listen to as well if you'd like that. But this show focuses on the Sunday Mass readings. Today, we're looking at the readings for the second Sunday of Lent. Now, just to frame it, there are five Sundays in Lent. This is the second one. So we're making our way through. Today's focus is on God sending his son. He did that out of love. He sent his son to us. So let's talk about that. I want to let you know, too, that if you want to find out more about my work, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to touch briefly on the Give Up Worry for Lent meditation for the second Sunday of Lent, and then we'll look at the Mass readings. But I want to make you aware of something. I believe I mentioned this before. I'm starting to get the word out now. On March 12th, I have a new book coming out. It is the follow-up to Give Up Worry for Lent. The book is called Give Up Worry for Good. So it's the follow-up to Give Up Worry for Lent. It's an 8-week program, and it's designed both for small group use or individual use. Two of the big questions that came up that I've been hearing a lot since Give Up Worry for Lent came out, the questions are, number one, is there a follow-up, or what do I do once Lent is over? Well, this book is the follow-up. It's something that we can do after the Lenten season is over. And secondly, I've been getting requests, how can we use Give Up Worry for Lent in small groups? So that's why I came up with this book called Give Up Worry for Good. Now, you can pre-order it now at Amazon or Ave Maria Press. You can, the book's going to be out, I believe the date is March the 12th, so it's going to be pretty soon, but you can pre-order now to make sure you get a copy. I'm excited about the book. More information about this and all of my books can be found at my website, followingthetruth.com. All right, before we look at the readings, let's do the Give Up Worry for Lent verse today. It's Matthew 17, verse 7. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." Now, this comes from the story of the Transfiguration, which we will read in today's gospel, except this is from Matthew's version of the story. Mark's version is the one we're going to read in the gospel. So what we have here is we have Peter, James, and John, the inner circle, if you want to call them that, being led up to the mountain, to the top of the mountain by Jesus, and they have this vision. They hear God the Father. They see Jesus in his heavenly glory. They see his glorified body. And they see this cloud. There's a cloud there. And obviously what we're seeing here is a representation of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're having an encounter with the Trinity. So what happens now is they are so overwhelmed with this that they are lying face down on the mountain, according to Matthew's gospel. And Jesus comes to them while they're looking down. Now, picture them spread out on the mountain. And Jesus said, "Rise and have no fear." And what he was doing, he was leading them back down the mountain. Now, in Give Up Worry for Lent, the point I make is that whatever you're doing for Lent, whether it's giving up worry or giving up something else, there's a chance, and I talked about this at the start of the show, there's a chance you could fail. And you probably will fail at some point. You'll stumble. I mean, let's be honest, Jesus fell 3 times as he carried the cross, so it is understandable that you might fall. It's okay. I want you to hear Jesus telling you, "Rise, get up, Have no fear. Why? Because I'm with you, he's saying. You can do this. And I think sometimes the Lord lets us fall. He lets us stumble because he wants to remind us of how much we need him. And I think that's a good thing, because many of us forget that. Many of us forget how much we need Jesus. So if you're becoming overwhelmed and sad because you messed up one of your Lenten promises, don't. Let Jesus speak these words to you. Rise and have no fear. And when you do rise and you pick your head up, you focus on Jesus and not on the ground. You know, because if you're lying down, you're staring at the ground. That's not where the Lord wants you. He wants you to pick up your head, lift up your eyes, and see him. And when you do that, you will be able to continue your Lenten journey and be successful. Why? Because you're not doing it yourself. So why don't you do that today? Rise, get up, and let's focus on Jesus. It's all good. Don't become discouraged. Discouragement does not come from Jesus. The evil one wants to get in your head and make you discouraged. The discouragement doesn't come from Jesus. Let's take a look at today's gospel. Because on this program, if you're a new listener, we always start with the gospel. I like to lead with the gospel because there is the church teaches that the gospel has a prominent place in the Bible. The four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are considered to be prominent. All of the books of the Bible are inspired by God, but the gospels have a special prominence, and that's why I always lead with the gospel. Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 10. Again, this is the story of the Transfiguration. Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He hardly knew what to say. They were so terrified. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. From the clouds came a voice, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Suddenly looking around, they no longer saw anyone but Jesus alone with them. As they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. I think that's a pretty interesting ending to this gospel. Peter, James, and John, these are the inner circle of the apostles. These are Jesus's right-hand men. He takes them up because they're dealing with some difficult realities. Prior to going up to the mountain, Jesus had told them that they would need to carry a cross, that they would be having to carry a cross if they want to be his followers. When they came back down from the mountain, he indicated to them that he was going to be put to death and rise on the third day. These are difficult concepts. So in between, what had to happen? Jesus wanted to build them up, and he gave them this mountaintop experience by giving them really a glimpse of heaven. That's what they got to see, a glimpse of heaven. They got to see the glorified Jesus, a similar vision to what we can all expect one day in heaven when our bodies are glorified as well. And they needed this to boost them up. And if you notice, Peter said, "It's good that we're here. Let's make three tents. Let's pitch our tents and let's stay here," because they didn't want to go back down. But Jesus said, "Rise, get up. It's time to go back down and have no fear." And of course, we see the Father speaking. "This is my Son. Listen to him." Because they needed to get this boost of confidence. These guys struggled. They didn't get many of Jesus' teachings. They questioned what rising from the dead meant. And that's how this gospel ends. And this didn't necessarily bear fruit. This transfiguration didn't necessarily bear fruit immediately, but it's something, it's, you know, it's one of those things they looked back on. If you ever had an experience, maybe you went away on a retreat, or you read an incredibly powerful spiritual book, or saw a great musical performance or something, you know what I mean? And you, this just resonates with you over time. And you go back and you think, wow, that was really powerful. I could feel the Lord. Maybe you just went outside and you feel His presence in nature. Or maybe you received Him in communion one day and you just felt Him, that, you know, just there was something special about that experience. This is what happened with Peter, James, and John. They might not have gotten it immediately, but it was something that they could look back on. Something they could look back on and strengthen them, because they were in for some difficult times. Let's look at the first reading, because as I've said on the program before, we look at the first reading, we look at the gospel. The gospel really leads the way. You know, it's a place of prominence, and it gives us the message. This is what the church wants us to get out of the readings. The gospel has a message, but there's a lot of messages in the gospel. So we look at the other readings, especially during the Lenten season. We look at the other readings so we get an indication of, well, what is the central theme? What are we supposed to get out of these readings? Well, if we look at the first reading, it's from the book of Genesis, chapter 22, beginning in verse 1. God put Abraham to the test. He called him, "Abraham." "Here I am," Abraham replied. Then God said, "Take your son Isaac, your only one, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. There you shall offer him up as a holocaust on a height that I will point out to you." When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. Then he reached out and he took the knife to slaughter his son. But the Lord's messenger called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham, here I am." He answered, "Do not lay your hand on the boy," said the messenger. "Do not do the least thing to him. I know now how devoted you are to God, since you did not withhold from me your own beloved son." As Abraham looked about, he spied a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. So he went and he took the ram and offered it up as a holocaust in place of his son. And the Lord's messenger called to Abraham from heaven and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you acted as you did in not withholding from me your beloved son, I will bless you abundantly and make your descendants as countless as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. Your descendants shall take possession of the gates of their enemies, and in your descendants all the nations of the earth shall find blessing. All this because you obeyed my command." It's an amazing story, isn't it? It's one of those stories that's very troubling. It's really something that gets our attention, the idea of Abraham being asked by God to sacrifice his son. And it's really something that is, it's really something that's hard for us to believe. But now what we have here is Abraham's faith being tested. And this is how Abraham's faith grew, by God testing him. I mean, it was a dramatic test. Now, there are some pieces of this reading missing. Some of the details are left out. And sometimes the church will do that. We'll get some verses omitted so that the message can be the message can be focused upon. And the message here is Abraham willingly sacrificing his son. You know, you start putting in too many details and our minds can be all over the place. But when you look at that gospel, "This is my beloved son," the words of God the Father. Here we have a beloved son willingly sacrificed by Abraham, because that's what God was asking him to do. And we see that God stopped Abraham from doing it. And elsewhere in the Bible, we read that the reason that Abraham was going to go along with this was he figured that if God's asking him to do this, that God will work out the details. God promised him descendants. who would come from Isaac. And Abraham believed, his faith was so strong that he was willing to sacrifice Isaac, figuring God would work out the details of producing the descendants somehow, even if he had to raise Isaac from the dead. That's how strong Abraham believed. And what happened? God stopped him. God stopped him. And he said, because you acted as you did in withholding and not withholding your beloved son, I'll bless you abundantly. And the one thing that comes out is that in this story, that there is a ram that Abraham was able to substitute for Isaac after God stopped him. Now, the theme that, at least what I think, is that God loves us so much that he was willing to send his son to die for sinners like you and me. That's how much he loved us. And Jesus loves us so much that he was willing to go through with the sacrifice. What an incredible gift for us. And during this Lenten season, that's definitely something for us to focus on. And then you go back to that mountaintop experience. And again, both of these took place on a mountain too. That mountaintop experience with the vision of Jesus in his heavenly glory, it reminds us, because God was so willing and he sent his son into the world, and Jesus was willing to obey, even if it meant pain. And Jesus obeyed just like Abraham did. Because of all this, the gates of heaven were opened, and you and I can live in heaven once our life on earth is over. I mean, it's a very good story. This is all good news. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 116, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed even when I said I am greatly afflicted. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds. To you I will offer sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. My vows to the Lord I will pay in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And we see sacrifices of thanksgiving mentioned here. We see precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. So we see a reference to the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. We see a reference to the Mass, which is the ultimate, is the making present of the ultimate sacrifice to the Father, which is the sacrifice of Jesus. You know, so we definitely see the references to those things in this psalm. Let's look at the second reading, which once again is going to illustrate this point of God sending his son. You know, this is a big deal. We didn't deserve this. I didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve it. The people putting Jesus to death certainly didn't deserve it. But that's what unconditional love is all about. God loves us so much. It's not dependent on what we do for him. It's not because we deserve it. It's because he just loves us. Romans 8, verses 31 through 34. Brothers and sisters, if God is for us, who can be against us? Listen to this part. He who did not spare his only son, but handed him over for us all, how will he not also give us everything else along with him? You know, that's a really good question. The reminder for us there is, do you know how much God loves you? You know, I think we all have to think about that. Maybe ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand that today. The idea that he would send his son to make reparation for our sins, because he was the only one who could do it. We couldn't do it for ourselves. He had to do it for us. Back to the reading. Who will bring a charge against God's chosen ones? It is God who acquits us. Who will condemn? Christ Jesus it is who died, or rather was raised, who also is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. You know, all of these readings indicate God's love in sending his son to us. Because of that love, you and I have this great opportunity to not just encounter him in this life, but to encounter him once we die and have the possibility of going to heaven made available to us. I mean, that is a great deal. So today, I just invite you to think about that a little bit, God sending his son out of love for you. Now, don't focus on everybody else. Focus on you. He sent his son out of love for you. How do you respond? And you know, I think when you look at these readings, when you look at Scripture in general, I mean, ideally what we want to do is let God speak to us through the Scriptures, and then we want to respond in some way. So I hear one big, I love you today from the Father, from Jesus. I love you. How do you respond? I love you too, right? I mean, that's logical. Now, what do we do to show that love? And that's what Lent is all about. We recognize there's a lot of time, many times we didn't show that love. Maybe it's time to make some changes. How can I love God and other people more today? As part of my Lenten journey, right? Good question. Good call to action for all of us today. What can I do more to express my love for God? Hey, I want to thank you for listening to the program. Again, my name was Gary Zimek. If you want to find out more about my work, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. And I could really use your help. If you're able to become a monthly sponsor of my ministry, I could really use your help right about now. Times are tough, especially for people like me who are trying to continue in full-time ministry in the midst of a pandemic. It's been really, really difficult. But I'm grateful for your support. But if you haven't signed up to be a monthly sponsor and you would like to do that, you'd like to see my work continue, I would really appreciate it if you could visit my website, followingthetruth.com, click on donate, and you can do that through PayPal. Totally secure transaction through PayPal, followingthetruth.com. If you'd rather just make a one-time donation, I would appreciate that as well. You can do that at followingthetruth.com as well. Well, again, thank you for listening to the program. I hope to be back with you next week. I hope you'll be able to join me. I'm going to be praying for you. Please pray for me as we continue to journey through Lent together. Have a wonderful week. God bless you. And remember, God loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you so that you could live with him forever in heaven. Wow. That's what I call love. God bless you. Talk to you next time.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.